I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening for our midweek prayer and Bible study. We're looking forward to a good service. We've got our praise team, and brand new, after her long hiatus, Sandra Jo is on the piano. So she kind of snuck in the side door and worked her way over here. Very few people here. She's being very, very safe. And then, of course, our praise team. And we're looking forward to them ministering to us in song as well. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it right over to Brother John to lead us in a couple songs. Father in heaven, we thank you that we could come and worship you, and I pray that you would be with us during this evening service, that you would minister to each of our hearts through your word, through song and prayer, that in every way we might draw nearer to you. And I do pray for our church family. Lots of folks have expressed to me their need to get back to church, worshiping and fellowshipping with their brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lord, we are just reaching out to you that we might see that come to pass soon. We pray for your guidance in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to turn it right over to John, and he's going to lead us in Sing to the King, the Solid Rock, and You Are My All in All.
I am ready. Here we go.
Sing to the King.
Turning, we watch and we pray.
to Jesus. He is all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All other ground is sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, rest in his righteousness alone, fall less to stand before the throne.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
All other ground is sinking sand. You are my strength when that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God,
much. That was excellent. That's a great blessing. Great blessing to have kind of a team brought back together here with Sandra Jo and John and the ladies helping us with our music. That's wonderful. Couple announcements real quick. Don't forget that this coming Sunday night is a Singspiration service that evening. So we're looking for you to participate in that. I know that Smokey has already worked up something. I know that Brother Haskell, Henry Haskell, has worked up something for that. John's talked to me about, he's gotten a couple calls of folks who are wanting certain songs to be a part of that evening. So reach out to us, let us know, participate if you can, or ask us to do a favor at him. But even that evening, you can text into John and we can work it into the service. So that is this Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Singspiration service. Now, June 7th, which is the first Sunday in June, we're going to have an outdoor service behind the church here. We're going to park in the parking lot. We're going to have you bring your lawn chairs. and we're going to do a service right back here in the lawn. It should be more than enough room for everybody to spread out and do the 6-foot spacing. The upper parking is going to be for senior citizens and those with some kind of a disability, not able to walk up the hill from down in the lower parking here. We're going to have a number of different things in place. We're going to be contacting our ushers, putting together all the pieces so that we can have a good, safe service outdoors, as that's the first week after June 1st when the governor said we could have outdoor services. So if you could, make it a priority. Write it down on your calendar. Make it a priority. We are going to live stream it so that if you're not comfortable coming, you can still live stream from your home. But lots of people have reached out to me in the last week and a half saying, Pastor, we need to find a way to gather together. And this is about the best way I can see for us to do it and to be safe. So June 7th, that Sunday morning service, we're going to have it right outside here behind the church. All right, I think other than that, we're ready to turn it right back over to our praise team. And they're going to lead us in, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story and His Robes for Mine.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by His hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered crystal sea. His robes for mine, oh wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, what cause have I to tread? God's haunting love, Christ mastered in my stead. I stand with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus
is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, and right is done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged.
Thank you very much. We love the backdrop picture with the pretty spring flowers. That is really nice. This evening, we are going to go back to 1 John chapter 3, which is a continuance of last Sunday night's message. So we are going to continue with the theme of approaching God with confidence, but we're going to go farther into the text of 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 24. Now, last Sunday night, we looked primarily at verses 19 down through 21, and tonight, we're really going to focus on verses 22 on down through, but we are going to touch briefly on verse 21 because it gives us a little recap. It connects it together. My goal, my objective is that we would have great confidence in our walk with the Lord and our worship with the Lord. And even as we come together again, and I'm hoping that's going to be soon, we are striving for June the 7th if it doesn't rain for an outdoor service, but I'm really looking forward to when we can come back in and worship together in the Lord's house right here. But let's go to 1 John chapter 3, if you'd turn with me there, and I'm going to read to you our whole text, which is going to be chapter 3, verses 18 on down. So 1 John chapter 3, and listen as I read to you verses 18 right down through verse 24. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. As we come to this text, we're going to start off by picking it up in verse 21, where it simply says to us, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And what that does for us, it springs that question. And that question is, are you and I confident in our walk with, our relationship with our Lord? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and the first part of verse 23 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. Now, this is a little bit, this first point is a little bit of a recap of the latter part of Sunday night's message, in that we're touching on that confidence, approaching God with confidence. Are you confident in your relationship with the Lord? Well, that starts right there with a true or sincere heart, doesn't it? Look again with me at that Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith. Is your faith fully assured in you? Are you confident in that? Is your heart sincere in your relationship with the Lord? I think that during this COVID-19 time, I've had a number of folks indicate to me that they've really been examining their hearts. Had a wonderful visit today with one of the men in our church. He called me up, said, I'm at the church, Pastor. I just want to sit and chat for a minute. And so we sat and we talked. And he told me, he says, you know, I have really renewed my Bible reading. I'm looking forward to being able to come and worship in church. He is with full confidence, assured in his faith, renewing his walk with God. And I hope you are too during this time. Last several days, I've had folks text me or email me questions out of the Bible, things they're reading or studying. And that tells me our church is working at making sure that their heart is sincere, that it's true, in full assurance of their faith in their relationship with God. So that's where it begins, doesn't it? In order for us to have true, full confidence in our relationship with God, our heart needs to be right with Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Well, see, we need to look in our heart and make sure that our heart is not condemning us. In other words, our conscience isn't saying to us, boy, we need to work on some things. We need to rectify some things in our lives. Is it right with God? Well, you know, that really begins with you and I coming to Christ for salvation. He's really the only one that can cleanse our heart and make our heart right. When you look in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, each and every one of us, we came to the Lord Jesus Christ in full assurance of our heart, of our faith, reaching out to Him, calling upon Him, asking Him to forgive us of our sins, accepting Him as our Savior. And God says that's what happens. That's how we come to that place of a pure heart, because He washes our heart and makes it clean in our relationship with Him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, it's really not about you. It's about God. It's about God in you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, and He cleanses your soul, and He becomes your Redeemer, then it is He that keeps you. That's what that Philippians 1:6 says, being confident this very thing, that He which has begun the work in you will do it. So we rest and trust in the power and the work of our Lord in our hearts and in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, the Lord Jesus Christ shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I heard Billy Graham preach a message. And in his message, he referenced being confirmed or having confirmation in Christ. And I remember that there were a lot of Protestant churches who grabbed upon that. And they said, well, Billy Graham is condoning or putting his stamp of approval on the church ritual of confirmation. And that's not what he was doing at all. In fact, he was referencing what the scriptures are saying, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that shall confirm us unto the end. It's He, through salvation, that does the work in us all the way to the end. He is the one who confirms us. It's not a matter of us going through classes and some kind of a ritual, some kind of a process. No. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's Christ who confirms us and keeps us even unto the end. So we come to Him with confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that also requires something else. Go back with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to look down with me at verse 22. Because he's going to remind us that if we're going to have confidence in our relationship with our Lord, then we need to have a good prayer life. That's what John goes on to say after we look there in verse 21 where it says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." Listen to verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So did you see this shift he makes, talking to us about that confidence in our faith and directly sliding or segueing into verse 22 to talk to us about prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Well, see, that's the qualifier built within this text, is we must ask. God calls us to prayer. You and I that have confidence in our relationship with the Lord, we have no fear to come before God and talk to him about all the things that are going on in our lives. And here he tells us, he says, "And whatsoever we ask." And I read to you Matthew 21, 22, and I want you to listen to that again. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." You see, we need to ask with faith. The book of James talks about those who come to the Lord with doubts. You know, they're tossed to and fro. He says, how are they going to get any answers to their prayers when one moment they believe and one moment they don't? You and I, the qualifier is we come to God and we ask in belief. But look at what he goes on to say also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." In other words, he's saying, not only do we ask, but we ask according to God's will because we are walking the walk. You and I should be walking the walk when we are confident in our relationship with God. In other words, we're not all talk. Have you ever met folks who are all talk? Years and years ago, I've mentioned to you all before that for many years I was a machinist. I actually started when I was 16 years old every day after school in high school. And then all the way until I was 32 years old, I worked either full-time or part-time in machine shops. And I worked for a machine shop in Massachusetts when I was an associate pastor, and there was a guy who got hired in that shop, and that shop was kind of a specialty shop. We made a lot of one-off parts for MIT in Boston and for the military, and so he came to work at the shop, and he could talk a good talk. He got hired by the boss, who really screened the people he hired. Guy brought in his tools. He had an impressive toolbox with all the array of tools that were required for us as machinists. And as he came in, he set up, he got started, but it was very quick to reveal that he was just all talk. And I don't think he lasted a day and a half, and the owner of the company came in and told him, "You just can't do the work here." And they sent him on his way. You and I in our Christian walk are supposed to be more than just talk. We should be able to perform that which the Bible talks to you and I about in our Christian walk. So when you look here at verse 22 in 1 John chapter 3, And it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You and I are doing those things that are pleasing to God by keeping his word, by believing in him, by communicating with him. We have confidence in our prayer life. In fact, John drives this point home even more so as you turn a couple pages over in your New Testament to 1 John chapter 5. Look with me at verses 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have a petition, we have the petitions that we desired of him. So John talks about this same thing in chapter 3. Now he brings it back up into chapter 5, and he drives home the point that you and I that are striving to have confidence in our relationship with God, to walk in his commandments and obey his word, to communicate in prayer by faith, he says when we come and talk to God, he answers our prayers. The third thing I want you to see in this text about having confidence in our Lord, in our faith in our God, is down in verses 23 and 24. Listen to what they say again. I read it when we started, but I want to read it to you one more time. It's my last point. Listen to what it says. Because this teaches us a principle about the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Listen to what he says in verse 23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit, and I want you to notice that capital S on Spirit, which he hath given us. He's saying that Spirit is the Holy Spirit that he has given us. You and I are connected to Christ. We're connected to the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And his presence gives us confidence in our walk with the Lord. We need to be sure that we come and believe with confidence in the name of Jesus. Listen with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read to you to verses 36, 37, and 38. It says, and this was Christ speaking, giving to us a lesson on this principle. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So when we look here in verse 23 of 1 John chapter 3, and it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, then we see here that he's driving home that point that with all our heart, our mind, our soul, we are to love God. And we know the scriptures have driven home the point to us that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, come to die for your sins and mine. And we need to put our faith and trust in him and believe in him. But I want you to note there in verse 23, the second half of that, listen to what it says to us. Not only does it say that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, but listen to the last part of verse 23. And love one another as he gave us commandment. You see, he's referencing back to Jesus teaching about the two greatest commandments. And Christ condenses the Ten Commandments by telling us we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second part of that is also in Matthew 22, but verses 39 and 40. Listen to what it says. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Christ said, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So when we start talking about having confidence in our relationship with God, having confidence in our faith, we want to remember that we should be people who love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. And we practice our faith by loving others as well. Remember, Christ loved us so much, he died on the cross for us. Yes, even the sinner, because every one of us were sinners. The scriptures teach us, while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. You see, yes, he does even love the sinner. He wants them to come to salvation. You and I, what spirit is in us? Is it the spirit of God or is it the spirit of the carnal man? Are we caring for others, praying for others, reaching out to others? Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's our neighbor, our friend. Maybe it's our coworker. But we need to love our neighbor. We need to reach them with the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when we look at verse 24, it reminds us in our text, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, that it is the very Spirit of God within us that teaches us to have confidence in our walk with God. Listen to what verse 24 says. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You and I, we individually have a relationship with God that is personal and intimate as his Spirit works in us and through us. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 3 down through 7, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Christ said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Christ's teaching us right up front in his ministry, walking upon the earth, that we need to receive Christ into our hearts and into our lives, that he might dwell within us as the Holy Spirit, and that we might bear fruit through him. He goes on and he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Christ makes it clear that spiritually, to really be a believer, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to bear fruit for God, it can only be done through the power of God, the presence of Christ in us. In fact, that text concludes with Christ saying, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Isn't it amazing how he completes the circle for us? We started talking about the power of prayer in a confident believer's life. Then he talks about you and I obeying the two commandments, loving the Lord God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul, and loving our neighbor even as ourselves. Then he talks to you and I about how that we ourselves have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And us being grafted into the vine, Christ being that vine, you and I being the branches, we bear fruit for God. And he brings the circle around and he says, I answer your prayers. You and I, it should be that we have great confidence in our walk with the Lord. We should have great confidence in approaching God in prayer, in service, in worship. As we come to him as his children, fully assured in our relationship with him. So tonight, make sure that before you go to bed, you take some time. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Examine your heart and your soul. Be sure it's true. Develop a relationship with the Lord where you obey His commandments, His will, so that you might serve. Let's do a couple prayer requests before we go. We just today got two prayer requests. One is for Josie's son, Pete. We need to pray for him. He was taken to UVM with blood clots in his lungs. So please pray for him. They're going to try to dissolve those with medication. Pray for Pete, Josie Bigelow's son. And then also Susie Rivett called, and she said that she is going to be going in for another surgery on her ankle. This is like the 9th or 10th surgery she's had over the last 5 years trying to resolve this. She broke it slipping on the ice 5 years ago. Pray for Susie as they're trying to get this to heal up and the infections to go away. She's going in on June 8th. And then also remember, we're praying for Henry Haskell. He's getting ready to go in for sinus surgery. So pray for him. He's had a couple surgeries on his sinuses, but he keeps getting horrible infections. Pray that the Lord would guide these surgeons, give them wisdom and skill that this might be resolved. And then pray for us as we prepare to do a service outdoors behind the church, June 7th. And we're going to start on, you know, if it's not raining on that Sunday, we're going to do the service back there. If it looks like we're going to have rain, then we'll live stream. We're going to live stream both, even if we have it outside, but if we can't be outside, we're going to live stream from inside where it will just be John and I.
And no pre-recorded video.
There will be no pre-recorded videos either on the when we're doing the outside service like that. And actually the Bible hour as well, we won't be doing when we're doing the outside service because that just wouldn't work out. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And we're going to conclude our service. And I'm going to lift up these folks in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, and I do pray that you would be with Josie's son, Pete, that you would bring full healing to his lungs as he has got these blood clots that they're going to try to clear up. Lord, we also pray for Susie as she goes in for yet another surgery on her ankle. Please, Lord, help that to heal and get well. And then I also pray, Lord, for Henry Haskell as he's getting ready to go in for this sinus surgery. I just ask that you would be with him, that this would not continue to happen as it has, but that he would get well. Please be with us as we prepare to start these outdoor services. And Lord, I just so ask that you would stir the hearts of our governors and those who are making decisions. Vermont has exceedingly low cases of COVID-19. I pray that they would begin to let churches open back up and responsibly come to worship. Lord, I just pray that you would help all of these folks, all these leaders, help them to lay aside the politics and really look at the health and the science of things, that we might get back as a country to where we have some normalcy. And Lord, only you know what are really the facts. And most of all, we just need you to help them find a vaccine, help them to find proper treatment for this COVID-19. We are looking to you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.